So, could you talk to us about, an investment that has done well for you and contrast it with one that has not done so well and, what you have learned from these?
So yeah, I can talk about like two investments. One has done well, which is Adobe, and the one that didn't do well, that was Wells Fargo. So I invested in them about the same time. I invested in 2009 or 10. At that time, I believe both were doing the right things. Adobe was getting into cloud, which I thought would help them. And the Wells Fargo was coming out of the financial crisis as a very strong bank. It had survived the financial crisis, and I thought it will continue to do well. So I invested about 10% of the portfolio, my personal portfolio, in Adobe and 10% in Wells Fargo. And then I held them, and I still hold Adobe. I sold Wells Fargo last year. So Wells Fargo was almost at the same price that I bought in 2009 or 10, whenever I bought it. And Adobe has basically been about 27, 28x times from what I bought it.
Wow, I see.
So, but what it the both what it told me is that, basically what I had learned is what I implemented is that you go in thinking that you are going to, you're investing in good companies. Expect some mistakes. Even the best investors make about only get about 70% right. So 30% of the things go wrong. That is kind of expected. So you expect that, but you hold them long term. You give them chance to be, fruitful. And some of them, and when you realize that when you are fully convinced that something is not right, you get out of it, you sell it. And the third thing, it's most important thing, as which I have heard a lot of good investors like Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, Chuck Dockery say, that most of your returns are going to come from very few of good investments.
I see.
So, and that is all those things I was able. So what I learned is that I am able to, I this, this suits my temperament. I am able to do it. And I was, it's just basically reinforced by practicing this, that this is how it works, to see the real power of it. It just made me realize the real power it, by experiencing that myself. So those are the key takeaways. All the Wells Fargo was a mistake. I don't regret it. It just helped me see that I can do it. And also the another thing is that you are, so as an investor, you are going to make mistake, but the important thing is to know is that none of those mistakes should kill you. So sometimes people get mistakes that basically take so much risk, like shorting sometimes can cause so much risk that it can damage the entire portfolio, or they keep on adding more and more and more when the things are going down and down and down. So those things can actually cause huge amount of damage. So you have to, you're going to make mistake, but none of those mistakes should kill you. They should be, they'll cause damage, but none of those damage should be life-threatening. So all those things, all those principles, all those learnings, I was able to implement and reinforce and see the power of them, power of these things myself.
I see. So there is some, some amount of discipline and some amount of process that you have. Certain guardrails that tells you that no more than X percent invested in the same portfolio, so same stock or something like that.
Yes, so I do have that. So going in, I don't invest more than 10%, but I don't have that. If that 10% becomes, 60, 30, 40%, I wouldn't just cut it out because it has become a good part of the portfolio. Because it's like you're trying to find these gems, and it's like when you find these gems, you throw away because of the wrong reason. So you don't want to do that. I think that's a mistake that a lot of investors do. A lot of investors make that I talk to who are, investing professionally, they do that mistake. So when they think it has become 30% of the portfolio, too much of a risk. But our goal is to find these gems, these, if it's like, you have a company, you find these employees, and it's like when you find these employees who are exceptionally well, you just fire them because they did so well. So it's
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't make sense.
yeah, so it's like, you found, like when you're buying these companies, you are basically finding these exceptional people, exceptional companies which are doing well. Like it's like hiring Satya Nadella, for example, and then firing them because he did so well in so soon. So you don't want to do that. So I think the when you sell, the most important reason to sell is you are convinced that something is not right. There is no, something is, you become less and less hopeful of it being on the right track. So those should be the primary reason your investment thesis was completely wrong. So those should be the primary reason for selling.
I see. Very interesting. So now, I want to turn to the current investing landscape. And what do you think about, what's going on right now? Is it a good time for a strategy like yours? Or, is that not even a question I should ask?
No, I think it is, because there's a lot of things going on. A lot of innovation is happening. There's so much innovation happening in this world right now that I believe, I'm very optimistic that we are going to be in a very different world in 10 years. All over the world, we're going to be a very different environment. So I'm very optimistic. Things are going to change. But we are also in an environment where we are in a winner take most kind of environment, and those things are getting more and more powerful. Mm-hmm. So we have to find, what we are trying to find is these companies which are doing those kinds of innovations, those kinds of things. And another thing that is important is about changes. Like, change is something that happens slowly than suddenly. So something like like Tesla, for example, was, till last year, everybody was kind of on the, whether EV is going to be more, something or not. And now everybody is suddenly everything has changed, right?
So yeah, it used to be a luxury car. Now that Hertz is buying it, it's like a, it's a rental fleet car now.
Right, rental fleet car. And everybody is kind of, everybody who buys a new car, kind of, if they can afford it, they go for Tesla.
Right.
So that's what I mean by change happens slowly than suddenly. So what we are trying to find is, these winners, and try to get them, try to be, or, find them and invest in them slightly before everyone else realizes, that they are good, excellent companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good environment for that. And I think even if we can get a 1 or 2 year of, leeway in that respect, that can result in a huge reward over time. So that's, I think it's a good environment. The change is happening, change is rapid. But we are also in a winner take environment. So we are trying to find those spearheads of change, those winners in that change, who will be able to take most of the market when that happens.
So if, there were a couple of things that, we can take away from, this conversation today, what would that be?
So what I would tell is that, what I have learned myself is that the stock market is a very powerful tool for building, life-changing wealth, intergenerational life-changing wealth. But you have to understand how it works, and if you do that, you can really, it's available to all. At the same time, it's available to all. You don't really need any exceptional abilities, but it's a, so understand how it works and invest capital that you can, you don't need to worry about it on day-to-day basis. Have a long-term goal. Mm-hmm. And like Charlie Munger says, that if you cannot handle a 50% drop down in your portfolio, you should not be stock market. And I think that's a very important fact. It's not just a saying, it's a very important fact. So if you invest, even if you don't have a lot of capital, invest part of your wealth that you can, you can handle big drawdowns and
you
don't
can
have
stand to lose. Okay.
Yes, not to lose, but you can handle if it goes 50% down and can stay there for 2-3 years for some time. Mm-hmm. You don't need to, you don't lose your sleep over it.
I see.
So if you do that, you can really take advantage of it, and you can, you can have, and it's something to, you will see over time, you will see in 10, 15 years, and 10, 15 years is not a long term in the long, in the big, in your big life. So, and you will be able to learn that, you will be able to pass on to your kids. And that's something that everyone should be, trying to, nobody should see stock market as a income, a place to get income or place to, it's not a quick, get rich quick. If anything, it's a get rich, get wealthy slowly scheme. And everybody should be able to take advantage of it.
I see. So, your two points were, stock market is a very powerful tool to build long-term wealth. And the second is, be patient with your stock market investments and, stay put.
stay put, it's available to all. All it takes is discipline and patience and temperament, not any exceptional intelligence or skill.
Very nice, very nice. So if you were, you know, I would like to see, you know, if you can give us some pointers for further reading about, you know, Charlie Munger or, you know, whoever is your investing hero.
So, yeah, I would, anybody who's willing to learn, I would, you know, first of all, they can speak to me and anytime I'd love to talk about it. But you can read Berkshire Annual, Berkshire Hathaway Annual Letters, which are available on their site for, you know, I would start from, instead of, a lot of people prefer to start from the beginning and then come to, you know, a more recent, I would do it otherwise, read the more recent.
Most current.
Because their investment philosophy also has changed, and what they have, you know, they are also in a very, they have adapted to different changes over time. So start reading from 2020 or 2021 and then go back and read as much as you can. That will be a very good place to start. And then you can learn more about them from books. You can listen to a lot of podcasts which are available on them. So that's a very good place to start learning and reading. And I think that is, and the other thing I would also really take pleasure in pointing out is that everything about investing, you can learn from Aesop Fables.
I see. I see. That's interesting.
Yeah. So everything that's, you know, everything that you learn, that is all there basically. So yes, if you are more, you know, learning from stories, that's the place to start.
Yeah. I think, you know, I should read some of the Aesop Fables in Know Your Finances. Maybe that's a good way to, you know, one is remember those fables. Second thing is, you know, apply it to investing. Awesome.
Because it's all about, you know, good softer skills. It's all about discipline, patience, and little bit of wisdom rather than, quantitative formulas or anything. So,
wow. Yeah. This has been really fascinating for us. Thank you so much. And I really want to appreciate you taking the time to spend with us today. Thank you very much for being a guest.
Thank you. And I enjoyed our discussion a lot. Thank you very much.
We'll see you soon.
Yep, thank you.
You're watching Know Your Finances. Sukesh Pai is the founder and principal of Trillium Square Advisors LLC. All opinions expressed by Sukesh Pai and the guest in this program are solely their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of Trillium Square Advisors. This program is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of Trillium Square Advisors LLC may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this program. Thank you.
I'm glad you could join us today for Know Your Finances. Call us with your questions at 919-294-4800. I look forward to catching up with you next week. Same time, same place. Thanks for listening to Radio Naira, exclusively on 99.9 FM HD4, 101.9 FM and 1490 AM. Have a great week ahead.